Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, soaring fuel prices as rising tensions in the East hit Irish motorists in the pocket. With the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday this weekend, Brian O'Connell reports from Derry as the city prepares to remember. Former Ireland soccer manager Brian Kerr is off to Pakistan to scout for new footballing talent. He'll be here later. We'll also have an expert guide to the Lunar New Year celebrations and we'll learn about the traditions and culinary treats on the menu. And our Friday gathering guests will be here later with their take on the big talking points of the week. Text us this morning, 51551. Email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, Robert Watt, the Department of Health Secretary General and Health Minister Stephen Donnelly have travelled to the United Arab Emirates to attend a series of health and wellness events at the Dubai Expo. It comes as questions continue in relation to Mr. Watt's recent €81,000 salary increase and the ongoing concerns about the children and adolescent mental health services in Kerry. In a moment, I'll speak to Fianna Fáil TD for Carlo Kilkenny, John McGuinness, who has questioned the wisdom of this trip. But first, Philip Ryan, political editor with the Irish Independent, joins me on the line. And Philip, you're writing about this today. What's the purpose of the trip?
Yeah, this is essentially a trade mission to Dubai by the Department of Health, featuring Mr. Watt and, of course, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly as well. The expo in Dubai has been going on for about 6 months and it goes on until March. And this week, specifically from January 27th until next Tuesday, February 2nd, is the health and wellness week. So the events focus on things around the pandemic. They focus around medical technology. They focus on, there's even an event there praising frontline workers who worked throughout the pandemic and, of course, beyond and before. And that's the purpose. And Minister Donnelly and Mr. Watt will be over there. They'll be meeting various companies. They'll be attending stalls run by the likes of Enterprise Ireland, the IDA. It's one of those trips where it's about drumming up confidence in Ireland, trying to convince people to do business here and trying to promote Irish businesses over there as well.
Okay, and the IDA and Enterprise Ireland have asked the Minister and I would assume the head of the Department of Health as well to attend events to support Irish companies.
Yeah, that would be one of the purposes of the mission over to there or the trip over to there. And look, these things are planned long in advance. That's the nature of them. This would have been boxed off for a while. Everybody knew this expo was happening. It was actually delayed for a year due to COVID. But I think the problem for them now is that it just falls at a really, really bad time when everybody's talking about the situation in Kerry, the wider problems with the mental health services, the ongoing problems with our current health service here, and then the issue around Mr. Watt's pay and the waiver and when and why did he decide to stop waiving that element of his salary.
Okay, so on that very topic, Robert Watt's pay increase, you touched on one of the outstanding questions because he said, didn't he, in the last couple of days that he was taking the full amount of his salary now. And the question is still there around who made that decision? Why was it made now?
Exactly. Well, what we don't know is what were the metrics used for deciding that, in his own words, that the economy was improving. That's what he said. He would waive the salary, the €81,000 top-up for his new job until the economy improved. We don't know what metrics are used there. Look, the economy doesn't seem to be doing too bad at the moment. Not everybody would agree with that, but the people in the Department of Finance would tell you things are looking good. Was that why he used it? And then the other problem, or the other issue is that we don't know is when did he decide to stop waiving this? Did it just happen this week? Was it 3 or 4 weeks ago? Was it last year? We don't know. And look, the government line on all this is Mr. Watt's money. We paid him. He can do what he wants with it. And that's fair enough in some degree as well. But all of that money is provided for by the taxpayer through the taxes they pay on their income. And I think with most public services and most public use of money, that the public deserves to know what way it's been used.
OK, well, Philip, stay with us. And John McGuinness, we'll come back to that issue of Robert Watt's salary in a moment. But first on this trip to Dubai, it is Health Week. They have a number of events set up by Enterprise Ireland and the IDA. And you yourself will know what this is like because as a former Minister of State in the Department of Trade, you'll have taken part in these trips in the past. So you'll know the value of them.
I do know the value of them. I was Minister for Trade and Commerce and did attend the expo in Dubai many years ago. But let's put this in context. The minister is attending with the Secretary General. It is the business of Enterprise Ireland and indeed Leo Radker's department to arrange these trips. These are promotional trips for Irish companies. And what Philip has said there earlier on in his description is accurate. However, it is not the business of the Secretary General of the department or the Minister for Health to attend such events. There is a department specifically engaged to do all of that. And I would suggest that, given not just the Kerry controversy, but the fact that there's a Galway controversy, there is a collapse in the CAM services right across the country, there's issues in the health services generally, that the Secretary General responsible for all of that should be at his desk doing what needs to be done to give the services that people are demanding. And I think that it's outrageous that both should decide, Minister and Secretary General, to go to the Dubai at this point in time. Somebody else could have did this job. And I believe that Enterprise Ireland and the Department of Business are the ones that should be out there doing what's necessary for the country.
So you're saying that the Minister for Health and his Secretary General have no business being there?
No, they haven't. My experience of this is that it is businesses being promoted out there by the Irish government, usually by Enterprise Ireland and the Minister for Trade and Commerce or the Minister for Business. That is what happens. Now, I can recall being out there, and the criticism I heard from Irish companies was that the lack of support that they received from the HSE in terms of selling their goods and and services into the system here. It is not the business of the Minister for Health to be out there, or indeed the business of the Secretary General to be out there. It is here, outlining their policies for the future, checking on the money that's being spent, finding out why we don't have the professionals necessary on the frontline services. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah,
and this is a whole of government issue.
Yeah,
the Taoiseach now and the Cabinet need to take a grip of this.
If you have companies either out there or travelling out there trying to drum up business, and they have been made a commitment that, you know, you'll have travelling with you the Minister for Health and the Secretary General of the Department of Health, you can imagine if that was cancelled last minute and they were travelling out there without that support, that they would feel very aggrieved, would they not?
They would, but from the very beginning, you have to ask the question, why is it the Minister for Health and why is it the Secretary General? Both of them. It is Enterprise Ireland is tasked by the government to do all of this work. It is the Minister for Business, Leo Radker, Robert Troy and those that are tasked on the political side of it. So if Cabinet is being responsible and is looking at these events, then it's clear that they've made the wrong choice at the wrong time in relation to Dubai. And it's a whole of government issue, as I said, and I believe that the Cabinet now need to meet to put some sort of structure on the government for the future and to insist that those Secretaries General that are being paid so much to do their job, particularly Mr. Watt, that they should be at their desk doing it at a time of crisis in the health service. Mm.
But in relation to this trip, the plane has left, they're gone. You're not saying they should come back before
No, I'm not saying that they should come back, but I am saying that was a bad judgment call on both of them, and by both of them, and that it's a bad judgment call on the side of the government that this will happen. This is not the way government should be managed, and it's wrong, and they need to reflect on it.
Okay, just coming back to, you touched on it there yourself, Robert Watt's salary and the outstanding questions, as Philip Ryan outlined just a moment ago. Do you agree that we need to know, or the public should know, when Robert Watt decided to increase his own salary, if that's what you believe happened here?
Well, first of all, let me acknowledge that the Finance Committee did a very extensive report on this, and we couldn't bring it to a proper conclusion because of the lack of cooperation from the Taoiseach, from Robert Watt himself, and others. This was a deal that was done in a room in government buildings, 81,000. It was pitched, as we were told, by one of the Secretary Generals, at a level that would be palatable for people, €292,000, 81,000 of an increase, plus the 3,000. And all of this was done at a time when we were in lockdown, when people were faced with all sorts of difficulties in their lives when pension increases were being pitched at €5. And Robert Watt refused to come to committee. He sent us a press release instead. So I believe that what is required now is that the Health Committee, or indeed the Public Accounts Committee, need to hear from Robert Watt as to when he accepted the increase, from what date did he put in place the waiver, from what date then did he stop the waiver, and give the full information to the Health Committee or to the Public Accounts Committee. It's absolutely essential for good governance that some structure we put on this, because there will be huge pay demands from right across that sector. And I have no doubt that the payment being made to Robert Watt will be central to that. If a man being paid $295,000 to oversee a man that's being paid $420,000, it just beggars belief that this has been allowed to go on.
Yeah, but your problem with senior civil servants goes beyond this issue and goes beyond Robert Watt, because you're writing extensively in The Examiner today and you say that senior civil servants are unlike any other employees in our country, faceless and blameless. You're saying they refuse to appear before committees, and that ministers who are paid less are dependent on civil servant advice. They are made responsible for what happens at government level.
Yeah, if you take any controversy that has happened in recent times or going back over the years, you will see that the minister has had to resign, or the minister was blamed, or the minister had to take the negative position and take all of the flack for what had happened. Now, civil servants, based on the 1926 Act and other acts going through the history of the state, they are faceless and blameless. But they should not be. They should be brought to the centre of governance. They should be made to be accountable. We should know who is not doing their job. And we should be getting people to replace those people if necessary. Yep. But if it goes on the way it's going, it means that politicians, for no reason at all, will have to take all of the flack, all of the blame, and the senior civil servants and senior managers within the system just walk away blameless, no one knowing who caused the difficulty.
Yeah, is it not right, though, that those who are democratically elected should be held responsible? Because, after all, the civil servants should be doing the bidding of those who are elected by the people.
But that's not what's happening, Claire. What's happening here is that policy is being devised. It should be driven by the senior ministers. That is not happening. And what is happening is you have senior managers and secretaries general getting huge money allocated to their departments or to their agencies or wherever it might be, and yet they're not delivering. Okay. You had that in the collapse of the health service. You have it in relation to CAMHS in Kerry and all of the other controversies that we've had.
Right.
And we've had the case of Grace and 47 others. Nobody held accountable. That day is gone. That is not good governance.
Okay.
It's not good management. And if you know that you're in a job where you can't be blamed for anything, or you can't be held to account, and you can tell a committee that you will or will not go to attend that committee, then that means that the whole issue of governance is at stake here.
Okay.
And there should be a dynamic between those that are elected and those that administer the country, so one doesn't get ahead of the other. But what we have now is we have a small number of civil servants that are way ahead of themselves, and that the government have allowed to become out of control, and we don't have the governance or indeed the decisions being made in a way that they should. Hence the trip to Dubai as if it flies in the face of everything that's happening in Ireland.
And on that, the Department of Health have sent us a short statement. It says Minister Donnelly and Secretary General Watt are attending and participating in Health Week in Expo 2022. This includes supporting Irish companies operating in the region. Philip, another story I want to ask you about, this new twist in the so-called Champagne Gate saga. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so there's the journalist Darren McDonagh done a FOI request, a Freedom of Information request, to the Department of Foreign Affairs to get emails and various correspondence around the event, the UN Security Council vote, and the controversial picture and champagne party that followed. And the emails seem to show that there was a discussion the day before the actual vote about where staff could gather, where they could go in the office to watch the vote. And Niall Burgess, the then Secretary General, his private secretary, wrote to another official saying he was happy to watch the results down the back of the political open plan. in the thick of it, in quotes. And the person responded saying, yeah, okay, thanks, we'll proceed on that basis, but then also raised some concerns about social distancing measures. Now, the department themselves haven't really clarified what exactly this was about, but it gives the indication that there was some discussion about where staff would gather and watch this vote as it came in. And the other interesting aspect to the emails that have been released is all the various warnings and guidelines and FAQs, frequently asked questions, that were issued by the department to their staff, which set out quite clearly that people should be working from home unless it was really, really necessary to come into the office. One of the documents says the civil service and public service must show leadership and support to those members of society who need to attend a workplace outside of the home by enabling as many of their employees to continue working from home for as long as possible. And that was just issued in the days before the UN Security Council vote.
Okay.
Now, the main point of staff being in the office at that time was in the chance that Ireland didn't make it through the first phase and then they could hit the phones to try rally support for a later runoff vote.
Yeah.
And it would seem to most people, I think, that that's something that could be done at home on your phone with your laptop.
John McGuinness, what's your response to all of this?
Well, I think that, first of all, it was a cause of celebration, the outcome in relation to the UN, but it showed a terrible lack of regard for the regulations that were there during the pandemic that this would have happened. And again, it's a case where Simon Coveney has been asked to carry the can and take the flak in relation to what happened. But the Secretary General and those within the department have not been heard from. And I believe that, again, the committee of the Oireachtas responsible in this area should bring them before the committee and let's hear the full story. There are more important things going on around the country than just this, but I believe that every breach of governance and one rule for those that are an elite within the civil servant and another rule for another has to be questioned and challenged. That has to be done by a committee of the Oireachtas.
John McGuinness,
and the Secretary General, those should come before that committee.
John McGuinness and Philip Ryan, thank you both very much indeed.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.